Well, hi there, everybody. Matt Volbrecht coming at you with a very short podcast. And really, we're just going to do some very brief discussion in this podcast, more than anything else. And I have a few important announcements to make about some upcoming podcasts and things like that as well. And the main reason I want to talk to you today is I want to talk to you a little about iOS 4, which is the new version of what used to be called iPhone OS, and Apple decided to go ahead and rename that, presumably because, and I think Steve Jobs even mentioned this, because the iPhone OS is used on more than just the iPhone. It's been used on the iPod Touch now for a couple of years, and of course now on the iPad as of this year as well. So I want to talk about the new, still-to-come iPhone 4, which I am getting in about 3 days, and the iOS 4 itself, because I have actually used it already, and just a few other things. Before we begin, however, I need to give you one very important piece of information. I have changed my email address. It's very similar to the other one, but it is different nonetheless, and I had given you the Embark one before, the embarkmail.com email address, and that is no longer valid. I do have two other email addresses. I'll give you one on here, and some of you that have contacted me for questions, I have already gotten this from me, but we are now with Comcast, and my email address is a comcast.net email address. It is very similar to what it was before. It is M as in Matthew, and then there's a period or a dot, and then J, and then Volbrecht, which I will spell for you again in a moment, but it's m.jvolbrecht@comcast.net. Now, let me spell it. It's m.jvolbrecht@comcast.net. So again, very similar to what we had before, but just a little bit different. It is comcast.net instead of embarkmail.com, and there is a dot in between the M and the J, which I had always wanted, but you couldn't have with Embark. So I was excited to take advantage of that one when we switched our services over to Comcast. Please make a note of that email address, as the other one has already been discontinued, and I will not be checking email. I will not even be able to receive email at that address anymore. Still to come in some upcoming podcasts, I have not forgotten about you folks that have requested the iTunes demos and tutorials, and we are going to do them, and they will be very soon, I believe, and we're going to do some general iTunes stuff and then some possibly more advanced iTunes stuff as well. Also, I want to spend a little bit of time with iWork. Mike Arrigo, once again, as is always the case, has done an excellent podcast over at Blind Cool Tech. I don't know whether you, and I think it, I don't know if it made it over to Blind Geek Zone. I'm not sure that he has worked with it. I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. If you've listened to any of the Macintosh demos, he has done some phenomenal ones, and I think there's 12 or 13 of them now. And his most recent one did include demo of some of the features of iWork as well as OpenOffice. But I have had requests for, you know, specifically the iWork applications on the Mac with VoiceOver, and I want to do them. And I had been a little bit dragging my feet with Numbers, which is the spreadsheet app, simply because I don't use very advanced spreadsheet features. I use a spreadsheet every week for timesheets, and I use it in Numbers, and it works perfectly, but it's very, very basic. I could show you how to create a spreadsheet of, you know, ice cream flavors and the number of people that like strawberry versus chocolate or vanilla. But beyond that, I hadn't done very much, and I had intended to look into it in further detail, and then things kind of pushed me forward when a gentleman contacted me with support questions about using Numbers. And so we're going to do formulas, and we're going to do some other things that I've since learned how to do. And Numbers works absolutely beautifully with VoiceOver. Now, you need to be running Snow Leopard and VoiceOver 3, which obviously comes with Snow Leopard. So if you're running Snow Leopard, you've got the right version of VoiceOver. But you're not going to be able to see the full benefits of that, of the compatibility if you're just running Leopard. And incidentally, I don't know whether I have ever talked about it or not, but I do use Snow Leopard on every Mac that we have, and I do highly recommend it if you've got an Intel-based Mac running Leopard or running Tiger. I absolutely suggest running, upgrading to Snow Leopard, and you'll see a lot of benefits. There are many improvements to VoiceOver, some which I do feel, you know, are things that I chose to disable to make it work more like Leopard. For example, when you go to a web page, it now automatically reads the page, starts reading the page, and you can disable that, and, you know, you can have all kinds. There's just so much, and one of my favorites is the trackpad gesture support in Snow Leopard. But anyways, it works beautifully with Numbers 09 in iWork, and that's what I was getting at, and we're going to do formulas and all of those things and show you how to do that. So there's some more podcasts upcoming. As I said, however, the podcast I want to talk about, or the podcast I'm doing today, is simply going to be a bit of discussion, and I want to talk about the upcoming iPhone. And boy, is this a big one, because those of us who got in on the iPhone 3GS, that was our first opportunity to have an iPhone, if we had been blind or low vision, non-sighted, whatever. And I think I can safely say that the majority of people who have used the iPhone either love it or at the very least admit that it's pretty awesome that Apple is doing things for accessibility, even those people who may have some issues you know, with the way it's done. I am not one of them. I am an absolute fan of it, of course, but, you know, either way, I think people are realizing just how amazing it is that Apple's putting its foot forward like this. The iPhone 4, I want to talk about the device first, which, of course, I don't have yet. I will be getting it on Thursday, the 24th. I have pre-ordered it. I did get into the AT&T store. We don't have an Apple store near us, but we do have an AT&T store. And I couldn't get a hold of Apple or AT&T all day because of the influx of people ordering. But I went to the AT&T store just about an hour before they ran out of them. And it looks as though, from the looks of things, I will be getting it on the 24th. At least that's, as I said, the way it looks at this moment. If you have not heard of all of the great features in iPhone 4, you can visit apple.com, and there's lots of information right there. I think you can actually, I know that it was up there. I'm assuming it still is. You can listen to the actual keynote that Steve Jobs gave about what the iPhone 4 will include. And it is awesome. There are some features that may not directly interest you as much, but it's still nice to know that the phone has them. For example, the display, which those of you who cannot see may not care too much about the display, but again, it's nice to know. The display is going to run a 960 by 640 resolution, and it is going to be, to my knowledge, the absolute best smartphone display on the market. Now, you can, you know, talk about bigger devices. Obviously, even the iPad, you know, has a higher resolution than that, but when it comes to these small smartphone displays, that's the best on the market to my knowledge. And it is still going to retain the same size, lots of improvements in the display in other ways. They're using a thing called Retina, I believe it's called Retina technology, if I'm not mistaken. I may have that term wrong now. But anyways, there's tremendous improvements to the display from not only what Steve Jobs said, but what reviewers have said as well, who have actually gotten their hands on the phone a little bit at the Apple WWDC, the developers convention, or conference. Anyways, they've been thoroughly impressed. Now, for some other features, the iPhone will now have an improved camera. It is 5 megapixels with LED flash, and several other tremendous features for the rear-facing camera, and then there's also a front-facing camera, and there's a feature called FaceTime. You can actually now make video calls without any configuration, without any setup. You just call the person. You can, well, if you can see, you can. If not, then obviously no, but they can see you, and you can tap an area of the screen and have it flip back to the rear camera. So, you know, look at this person over there, or look at what I'm seeing, look at what's behind me, you know, and it will show just, you know, it'll display correctly on the other iPhone as well. Now, the caveats are, number one, it does have to be iPhone 4 to iPhone 4. So you could not call an iPhone 3GS and expect them to be able to see you and use FaceTime. The other caveat is, as of right now, at least for 2010, it is going to require Wi-Fi to be able to do these video calls. The carriers have to make some other improvements, I guess, to their networks before that's going to work over 3G or Edge or anything of the sort. So as of right now, it is Wi-Fi only for this year. And as I said, it does have to be iPhone 4 to iPhone 4, but that's a pretty awesome feature. Another thing that's going to be able to be done is you're actually going to be able to take HD movies on the device and then, as always, upload them to YouTube, MobileMe, you know, email, MMS, whatever. The other really cool thing is that iMovie is coming to the iPhone, so you'll actually be able to do edits on the iPhone. Now, I don't know how accessible iMovie for iPhone will be, but I do know that it is very doable within reason. I mean, you may need some help here and there, you know, especially with actually focusing, but it is, you know, doable to use the video camera without being able to see, to trim video and so on. And if, you know, if iMovie is anything like most or all of the other Apple apps, it may very well, we may be surprised as to just what its accessibility can be, but that's going to be available very soon as well. So iPhone 4, the most significant upgrade, they say, since the initial release of the iPhone, on the day that you could first pre-order them, it was the largest sales day for AT&T in company history. Pretty amazing. So if you haven't heard this stuff yet. So anyways, and AT&T's offering some really, really generous upgrade options, depending on your how long you've had the device and things of that nature. But they are, you know, if not, you can pay the non-subsidized price as well. I mean, you can always get it. It's just whether you get it at the discount, you know, with a two-year contract or what your options might or might not be. But if you are curious as to whether you qualify, you can pick up your existing iPhone and you can dial star new pound, star N-E-W pound, and press the call button, you know, double tap the call button. And they'll send you a text message to let you know whether you get a discount or whether you don't. And if you do and you're interested, then they're selling the 16-gig iPhone 4 for $199 and the 32-gig for $299. They are, for anybody that has not gotten an iPhone 3GS and is thinking, boy, I would love to have an iPhone, but $199 is just a bit too much for me to spend right now. Now you can get an 8GB iPhone 3GS for $99. But the iPhone 4, of course, starts at $199. It will have a faster processor, a lot of great features. Also, I want to comment, since we're talking about the iPhone, on the fact that AT&T has changed its data plan options. You are still required to have a data plan if you have an iPhone, but now, at least that's the way I understand it, but now it's not $30 a month for unlimited data. What they've done is they've given you two options. I've heard a few people complain about these options. Again, I'm not one of them. I happen to be very happy with AT&T, very pleased with everything about AT&T, and I'm pleased that they gave this option because it's actually made my wife interested in an iPhone. She always made the comment, you know, if I were ever going to get a smartphone, it would be an iPhone, and I'd love to have an iPhone, but I don't want the $30 a month because I don't use that much data. You know, at home we have Wi-Fi. Most other places, we have Wi-Fi. Now, I use a lot of data because, you know, we're out somewhere, we're in the car, I want to look something up. I'm not discriminant about it. I just do it. And our son loves watching videos, and in the car he'll say, let's watch this. Well, I don't have that in the video library, but okay, let's go onto YouTube and find it. So I use it all the time. Incidentally, I still don't use more than 2 gigs of data, though, a month. I don't think I've ever even come close to that. And that seems to be the number that a lot of people are finding that they're not using above. So what AT&T has done is created two options, actually three if you're an existing customer. If you already have that $30 a month unlimited data plan, you can keep it. Even if you get a new phone, sign a new contract, whatever, you can keep the $30 a month plan with no penalties. But there are two data plans now that have replaced that one that you can choose to go to. One is $15 a month for 200 megabytes, and then the other one is $25 a month for up to 2 gigabytes. And again, you'll get notifications, you can change, you can upgrade, you know, what have you, if you're coming close. I almost could get away with the $15 a month one, but I'm not quite comfortable because I don't want to have to monitor it that closely. Part of why I like having the data plan is the freedom to really use the internet anywhere. And if I'm going to have to be worrying about going over, it's not going to be freedom. But I may drop down to the $25 a month 2 gigabyte one, and then my wife's going to get the $15 a month one and use the 3GS that I currently have, and I'll be using the new iPhone 4. So there's all kinds of ways Those of you who are interested, and if you were not getting an iPhone and you thought it's too much upfront cost and I don't want the high data plan rate, well, now you can get an iPhone for $99. It will run the new iOS 4. It will not have FaceTime and, you know, some of the other features, but it will basically be, you know, very similar, and you can get a data plan for as low as $15 a month. So pretty awesome there. Now let's talk about iOS 4. And one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk about iOS 4 is because of the accessibility. And once again, as is, has always been the case with Apple, at least from any of my experiences, it's only gotten better. It's only gotten better. There have been these small, you know, improvements along the way here and there that you'll notice with VoiceOver if you upgrade to iOS 4. Remember that iOS 4 is a free upgrade, and it's currently supported on the iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, of course, and iPod Touch 3rd generation in its fullest form. Now, it will be supported completely on the iPad sometime this fall, and for those who, obviously, you wouldn't be having VoiceOver with these models, but if you know people who have an iPod Touch 2nd generation or an iPhone 3G, they can still run a iOS 4, but not all of the features will be available. The some of the biggest enhancements to iOS 4 are, number one, the long requested by many people, multitasking. And I was never one to really miss having multitasking on the iPhone, because everything is so simple. And also because I want to point out something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about, but I read this in an article and I thought about it, explored it a little bit, and it is absolutely true. For the most part, Apple's apps, the preloaded ones, have already been able to multitask. All right, you know, at least for the most part, you know, you could play music in the iPod while not being in the iPod. You know, you could let it go in the background. You could, you know, get a calendar alert even while you were playing a game, or your phone would ring while you were, you know, and certainly 3G, of course, you can talk and surf at the same time. That's something AT&T's really touted, and Apple has promoted too. So, I, you know, push notifications, APIs, you know, that integrate things. I have not really been one of these people saying, oh, why don't you multitask? Why don't you multitask? But there are some nice things, there are some nice advantages to having this limited multitasking that they've added, and they've done it in a unique way. It's not, you know, a desktop multitasking, but I do agree with Steve Jobs and anybody else who has said this, that true multitasking will decrease battery life. It may slow down the performance as well, but at the very least, it will decrease battery life. What Apple has done is they've created a really neat way to handle multitasking, and they've come up with 7 ways that developers can take advantage of it. To name a few, you have background audio, so programs like Pandora can now be playing in the background while you are not using the app. You can be in the calendar, you can be, playing a game, checking the weather, you know, using using Safari, checking email, doing a grocery shopping, you know, whatever. And you can be listening to Pandora just as you can the iPod. The apps have to be updated to take advantage of it, and there are some that have not yet. The notable one I'm waiting for is the SiriusXM Premium Online app, because I actually use that more than I use Pandora, and to my knowledge, there is no update yet, but I'm sure that it will come. And, you know, Last.fm, Ambient, there's a lot of them that either are or will, you know, shortly implement the background audio API to take advantage of multitasking. Another one is for VoIP. Programs like Skype, you can get a call even when you're not in the app, and I think that's great for people who do VoIP over Wi-Fi or 3G on the iPhone or iPod Touch. Another one would be some additional ways of getting notifications and local notifications and things like that. And you have, I'm trying to remember, some of them deal with background tasks like, you know, updating and things of that nature. And then the final one that I want to talk about is the app switcher, or the app drawer. You access this by double-clicking or double-tapping the home button from anywhere, and it brings up all of your applications that you have run. And you don't have to do anything special to get them to go down there. They just do it when you leave the app. When you press the home button, you know, they go down to that app drawer. And the other thing, the app drawer, you can use the three-finger swipe to the left and right, just as you can, incidentally, to change pages on the home screen, which I forgot to mention or didn't, I don't know, somehow I failed to mention this in the last podcast when I was giving you some tips and tricks, and somebody was kind enough to point it out to me, and I apologize for not mentioning that, but you don't always have to go to that, you know, page 1 of 2 button, page 1 of 7, whatever. You can flick with three fingers left and right on the home screen, and you'll get to the next page. Likewise, you can get to the next or previous page on the app drawer. And it also offers an orientation lock, and it offers iPod controls in there as well. The apps, when they go there, you just double tap them and you're taken right back to where you left off. Now, some people might say, just because you might be thinking a little bit technically minded, how does this not use up memory if all of these apps are just going there and, you know, and the answer to that is, and of course Apple has done a good job of not making a big deal of this to the user because it's so cool using Apple products, you know, they just work. You don't necessarily have to understand how, and a lot of times I think Apple would actually prefer that you didn't understand how unless you need to as a developer, as a, you know, somebody who's doing tech support, you know, on Apple products or what have you. There's no reason for us to, and in truth, I love that. But I was really curious about that. I was curious as to, you know, how I knew, because it's Apple, I'd never have to worry about it. But I thought, you know, how do they do this? And somebody did explain it in a general sense, that the way that it works is because Apple actually, the iOS freezes the processes. So they're not really running. They just have a way of knowing where you left off. And then they, you know, you open right back up to them. Now, you can close them from the app drawer if you really want to, you know, if you have a reason to feel like you should. You can tap and hold, or in our case, you know, with VoiceOver, double tap and hold, just like you would to delete an app from the home screen, but you're doing this from the app drawer, which again, you get to by double clicking the home button. So if you hold down on one, you'll get the option to close the apps then as well. But there's, you shouldn't ever have to. There's no reason to. And I have done this, you know, quite extensively, and I've on purpose, you know, opened something, closed it, opened another one, closed it, you know, and I've had, you know, 12 or 14, 13, 14, 15 apps running and no problems at all. And so I'm assuming that they go away when you turn off the device, if you ever do. Anyways, and you know, you get a fresh start. So that's multitasking, and it's great. And then you have folders, which I have not really played with, but you know, it allows you to organize your apps into folders. There's the ability to put a background on the home screen. That's a nice one. And, you know, your background used to be just limited to the lock screen, except for the iPad. Now you can actually have a background on the home screen. There's the ability to add playlists directly on the device. Now, you sort of could do that before with On the Go, but it was limited, and this is not. This is full playlist adding and editing support right on the device, which they have on the iPad, incidentally. Even though the iOS 4 has not been released, it's been on the iPad since day one. You have some great mail enhancements. I love these. The unified inbox. I got to say thank you, Apple, because this is something I've been waiting for. And you have it on the Mac. You know, let's suppose you have a MobileMe email address, your internet provider's email address, a Yahoo email address, maybe, you know, an exchange email from your work or whatever your work uses, and you're saying, you know, granted, it's not that hard to go back, and, you know, but now you don't have to. You can go to all, excuse me, you can go to all inboxes, and you've got what you need. You can see the whole thing right then and there. There is a more enhanced spell checker, which allows you to, again, double tap and hold on a word that is misspelled, and then choose from a menu of suggestions. Let's see. I'm just trying to think of the ones that... Notes now have the ability to be wirelessly synced to your email notes, and that is nice. And they can be associated with accounts and things like that. What else? There's just a lot of other. Apple says there's over 100 new user features in the iOS 4. And I'm sure that's true. You know, I have not run across all 100 at this point, I don't think, but I'm mentioning some of the big ones. And then there's a ton of developer APIs that are going to enable apps to do even more amazing things. Which reminds me, the iPhone 4, again, I'm talking about the new iPhone itself, actually has a gyroscope in addition to the other accelerometers that are in it, so I think that's pretty awesome. But yes, iOS 4, absolutely downloaded. I have found no bugs at this point with either the OS or VoiceOver. Granted, I've only used it a day, but still. You know, it is free, and you know that if there are any issues, Apple will fix them. Now, I want to talk about one of the other great things about iOS 4, and that is that iBooks is now available in iOS 4. This has meant a software update to iBooks on the iPad as well. And what iBooks now can do is the same thing it's always done, but you can get your books on multiple devices free of charge once you buy it once, if they're paid books. And then you can sync wirelessly bookmarks and notes. So you, let's say, start reading on the iPad and then continue reading on the iPhone. Pick up right where you left off. And that's all done wirelessly. Now, there is also a great feature added to iBooks. And I was always looking for a program that would handle PDF documents. And, of course, you can open a PDF with an email and read it beautifully with the iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad. But you can't save it. And I was looking at some third-party stuff, and I did find one that I was almost going to do a review on because it does work very well. But now we don't need to, because now iBooks actually saves PDFs. So you can save a PDF that you get in your email or whatever, and you can open it in iBooks and read it right then and there. So that's a tremendous new add-on feature. There's some new ways of bookmarking and making notes and so on. But the greatest thing for me, right now it only works on the iPhone and not the iPad yet. And I am assuming that's because it was actually due to a revision in VoiceOver rather than in iBooks. But I have emailed Apple's accessibility team, who are always, always great, and I'm waiting for their response to either confirm that or to tell me that it's, you know, a bug that they're going to fix. But either way, it's on the iPhone already, and it's really awesome. And for me, it's the best thing about iBooks and VoiceOver since iBooks itself, if that made any sense. What you now have in iBooks is you have true rotor support on the iPhone. And I could see myself, you know, standing up talking to a bunch of VoiceOver users and getting the kinds of applause that Steve Jobs gets when he announces something big. Because this is awesome. Now, what this enables you to do is to reread a passage word by word or even character by character with a simple up or down flick, just like you would in a web page or in a document or anything else. And what's even better about that is, if you're reading word by word, for example, and you come across a word you don't recognize, you can double tap and hold, and it's going to pop up a menu that allows you to either copy that word or to look it up in the dictionary. So you can look it up immediately in the United States English Dictionary, right then and there, right within iBooks, read the definitions, read the example sentences, whatever, and then hit the done button, and you're back to where you left off. This is absolutely awesome, and I am nothing if not ecstatic about that feature. I had emailed Apple as soon as iBooks for iPad came out, saying, are you going to have rotor and dictionary support? Because that would be awesome. It was great having iBooks even without that. And, you know, you could do the search within the book, search on Google, search on Wikipedia. That was tremendous. And everything else worked. But those features, you know, I said, yep, I still love it. It's still the best. And you know, for me, it was perfect. First time we had an accessible ebook reader, truly accessible, you know, mainstream ebook reader. But Apple said, you know, we'll make a note of this and let the engineers know. And indeed, it works perfectly on the iPhone. So I've been very, very complimentary to the accessibility team at Apple. And I truly believe, like I said, I know nothing about it, and I don't have any inside information, not a partner with Apple or anything else. But I truly believe, if I had to guess, that it's because of a revision in VoiceOver rather than in iBooks. And therefore, when iOS 4 comes to the iPad, you'll be able to have that too. But I will, you know, as I said, be hearing back from Apple on that, I'm sure, and they'll let me know. And any of you who are interested, you can email me if you want to hear more about the awesome rotor support in iBooks, but it is great, and I've tried it in multiple books, and you know, you basically just start, you know, tapping in your text area, and then, you know, flick up and down, and you've got, you know, the words and characters, and you can go, you know, back and forth with the two-finger, you know, rotating gesture, and then, again, if you want to look up a word in the dictionary, just double tap and hold, and you're good to go. You get a menu, and you're all set. So, I am truly excited about that. And other things to you know, make mention of here, as I said, it does handle the PDF documents as well, so that's tremendous. And this update took about maybe a half an hour, give or take a little bit. Of course, we did not lose any content. You know, it backs all that up and it handles everything. Just make sure you transfer your purchases first. If you have any, you know, that you haven't already synced. And of course, it's all done within iTunes. You need to get the latest iTunes first if you have not already done so. Which, if you have a Mac, just go to Software Update. If you have a, you know, PC, you can do it from within iTunes or, you know, apple.com/downloads, and you can get the latest version there. But I do believe that VoiceOver works, even better on the iOS 4 than it did in the previous version. And there are some of the updates that will remind you of what the iPad works like. For example, when you tap a letter, it will actually read the, by default, the letter name and the phonetic. So, you know, things like that. There's a lot of things that seem to have been kind of carryovers from what actually was done on the iPad version of iOS, but wasn't called iOS then. But anyways, you know, I absolutely recommend this update, and I think that was the bulk of why I wanted to speak with you today. Now I will say, like I said, that there are many more podcasts to come. This was just a talking podcast, no demos here, but I think it, you know, contains some important information about the upcoming version, and I may do, you know, really, I don't know, as I feel there's a ton of things that really need to be done with demoing the iPhone 4 on its website. But if you are interested in that, I will do it. And certainly, as I said, we'll be getting into some of the other things then as well. iTunes, numbers, and, you know, a little bit with Pages, and then Keynote also, the presentation application. So, please feel free to email me with any questions. As I said, m.jvolbrecht@comcast.net. And look forward to hearing from you with more questions and suggestions. We will get to them as quick as we can. So, thanks everybody. Till next time, I am Matt Volbrecht, and hope you're having a good evening. Talk to you soon.